Hello and welcome back to the Brainstorming Basketball Podcast, joined as always by Harrison Liao and Yosef Nasser. And you guys, let's get right to it. The Knicks are officially back to being the Knicks. That was rude. I'm sorry. Okay, Harry, let's give you the floor real quick and get your Knicks thoughts out into the universe.
Well, I mean, it's rude, but it's true. I mean, it really feels like home. It feels like waking up from like a really great dream. And then, you know, you're kind of just back. You're back in reality. You got your shit 9 to 5, you know, and you just woke up from this dream where you're surrounded by like a harem of women and there's grapes involved. And you're trying to go back to sleep. We've all had this dream before. But yeah, it's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. I mean, we're a disaster. Somehow we benched Kemba and it definitely was the right move, but also now it feels like nobody can shoot at all, except quickly sometimes. The rotation is a disaster. Tibbs is struggling to find who his guys are. And the elephant in the room is that one of the guys he has to play, who had an incredible season last year, has really regressed back to being the player that I thought he was 2 years ago. I'm talking about Julius Randle, who just cannot seem to – he just cannot seem to understand that you don't have to dribble the ball 70 times before you shoot it. You can actually just take the shot when it's open. I don't understand. I mean, his basketball IQ has regressed legitimately. Last year, he was showing a lot of progress, passing out of double teams, operating occasionally, you know, in some kind of screen action, not always as a ball handler. He was great if you isolate one side of the floor for him, and it's just gone. It's completely gone.
That was so demoralizing. Just so our listeners have an idea of where we're at right now, the Knicks are 11-12 and in 11th place in the Eastern Conference. Top 10 make at least the play-in tournament, so it's not completely over. They're one game behind 10th place, actually one game behind 9th place, and only a game and a half back of 6th. Yosef, with all that being said, where are you at with the Knicks?
So, Buckets, when I think about the Knicks, it just leads me to being disappointed at you, because you're the person who told me that the Bulls were the ones that were trapped in the middle, that the Bulls had signed themselves away to mediocrity. Meanwhile, in the same offseason that you bemoaned the Bulls for taking or for trading, signing and trading for Lonzo Ball, for bringing in DeMar DeRozan, the Knicks signed Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, Derrick Rose, Evan Fournier, and Kemba Walker, the definition of guys who have led them to this place, in addition to the regression of Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, who I thought you were talking about when you talked about Harry, a player who he was 2 years ago. I mean, RJ Barrett has regressed too. So it's just a culmination of bad decision-making, maybe getting a little bit too over-invested in what happened last year and how good it felt. That you doubled down on all of those players and all of those players have progressed. So it's a disaster. The good news is, though, that the Knicks have been through this before, but at least this year they have their pick. So, you know, if they do end up sucking, like, you know, they've got a draft pick to where they can at least rebuild something, but it's not a good feeling. I don't see anybody on this roster who I like, you know, 3 years from now on this roster. It's bad, but it's not as bad as it's been, which maybe is a good thing for the Knicks.
I don't disagree with that, but wow, that was a optimistic spin zone on the Knicks. Right now, their next three games are Spurs on the road, Pacers on the road, Toronto on the road. Pacers and Toronto, by the way, are chasing the Knicks in the standings. And then the two after that are Bucks and Warriors at home. So 11-12 could turn into 11-17 or 12-16 quickly.
There's no team that I actually feel like you could reasonably be like, there's no team in the East where I'm like, oh yeah, that's it. That's an easy win for the Knicks. Like, not even the Pistons. I don't think there's an easy win for them.
How much of that do you account to just, is Tibbs wearing down on the guys? Is his message being lost, or is it not a Tibbs issue solely?
It's like, this team is so uncharacteristic of Tibbs teams. Like, they don't defend at all. like they're constantly leaving shooters open. They're constantly blowing rotations. It just looks like nobody's even communicating on defense. You always have like, you know, you'll have situations where it looks like maybe were they supposed to switch on that? And then two guys just end up following the role man. And it's like, what the fuck? Like there's a huge breakdown that way. Like very uncharacteristic of Tibbs teams where it looks like they're almost not like practicing enough. Like they're not running through schematic stuff enough. Everybody doesn't seem to understand what their role is night to night. And a lot of that does fall on Tibbs and the coaching staff. But I mean, at the end of the day, like the players are the ones that play the game. If you don't have the chemistry, like there's talent on this roster. I still think that there's talent. Like I like, maybe not.
Who are you going to say?
I was going to say Quentin Grimes.
I was
like 10 minutes.
I thought you were going to say Fournier.
Oh man.
Evan, oh my God. You know, I like Quickly. I'll say that. I like Quickly. I like Obi. I like Quentin Grimes, but I mean, they rarely play, so it's very small sample size. But I mean, it just doesn't look like any of the other guys out there have any energy at the same time. It's always like four guys are asleep and one guy is playing basketball. You know, it doesn't help that our best player is Derrick Rose and we can't play more than 20 minutes a night.
Do you think that the Knicks – do both of you think that the Knicks are at least better than, let's say, Toronto and Indiana, who are trailing them in the standings?
I don't know. I mean, Indiana almost throw in the same boat. Super inconsistent, but high ceiling. I mean, there will be nights where Indiana looks amazing. You know, the rookie's awesome. Sabonis is doing stuff, you know. This is high-level analysis here. Toronto, I'm not as high on. I mean, I don't know.
The reason why I asked that question is because, Yosef, is there a chance that the Knicks finish 13th in the East?
Very possible. I don't know. Like, you were asking Harry, like, does he blame Tibbs? Has his message worn off? Like, if you look at this roster, what is this group supposed to do, considering, you know, first of all, the larger context of the NBA, and then the regression of both Randall and Barrett? Like, I don't know what we expected. Like they re-signed a bunch of guys who have been role players, you know, in other places and all had career years on the Knicks last year. And it was kind of a magical season and they've all regressed. So like what is Tibbs supposed to do with this roster? I think they got too excited. They signed these players and yeah, they're very much in danger of falling to a Toronto who's like, Harry was just talking about it. Like, defense is a reflection of investment of the team, excitement to be out there on the floor. Like, do I think Toronto enjoys playing basketball more or the New York Knicks right now? Like, I don't know. They're at least exciting and, you know, a little bit inconsistent. And then Indiana, I'm a little more sour on them than you guys are. But, you know, I think that who's the best player if you took both the Indiana's roster and the New York's roster,
not Sabonis. Julius Randle. Yeah,
exactly. Not Julius Randle. That's probably even more
Delano Banton.
Well, okay. One thing that I'm looking at right now with the Knicks, and what might, you know, it's still early to call it a lost season, but it could definitely sway that way. Emmanuel Quickly, you're seeing what's happening with Tyrese Maxey in Philadelphia, and Quickly and Maxey have been kind of compared to each other. By a lot of different people, I would say. And there's only been a handful of games that Quickly's even gotten more than 10 shots in a game. And I would think that at this stage, you kind of just try to develop him, right? I don't know. What do you think, Harry?
I mean, I viscerally agree with you. When I'm watching the games, every time Emmanuel Quickly and Obi Toppin are out there, those two guys bring so much energy to the floor. Good things happen. I mean, I think if you look at their overall plus minus on the season, like I think they're probably somewhere close to the highest on the team. So I'm always like, please, for the love of God, play, especially Quickly, play him more. He's like the most competent ball handler. He's the most like modern ball handler on the team in the way that he gets to his step back. If you try to go under on him, you know, if you try to, you know, there's so many ways where, like, when he's out there running the offense with the ball in his hands, I'm like, oh, shit, like, we look like a modern team. Otherwise, there's Evan Fournier, like, jacking fucking 30-foot shots, like, off a pin down. It's like, what are you doing? But anyways, I do sympathize though with the coaching staff, because if you do that, you're almost throwing in the towel of saying, hey, we can turn this ship around with the guys that we spent all this money on and this idea of being a real playoff contender, which I don't think they've given up on that. Like you said, like they're not even that far out of sixth place in the East, right? And last year, I think we finished fourth, right? We had home court advantage, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yes, yes.
Those are not two completely entirely different outcomes. And I think the New York front office is probably still thinking, look, Julius looks terrible right now. Maybe he can turn it around. RJ, everybody is saying the same thing. His shot is legit. It's going to come back. Jury remains to be seen on that. But if you start going all in on developing guys, calling Miles McBride up from the G League, playing Quentin Grimes more, you know, basically tossing all the Taj minutes in the trash can and the Noel minutes in the trash can. And let's say it's not just Mitch Robinson that starts playing. Let's say, fuck it, let's play the super young dude.
Sims.
Yeah, maybe Jericho Sims gets like 5 minutes here or there. Suddenly the trajectory of the team is very different. You're kind of sending a different message. And I don't know if the front office and the coaching staff is comfortable with that.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
So I kind of land in the same place. First of all, I'm going to defend Tyrese Maxey. Quickly is nowhere near the athlete that Maxey is. And I'm ashamed of you, Buckets, that you made that comparison. I get they both played at Kentucky. I get they're both guards. I get they're both in the same draft class. But come on, Tyrese Maxey is a future superstar. I think that Quickly, current and future. So he's a current star, future superstar. I think Quickly is a nice third guard who can start, you know, for some teams. That out of the way, I am disappointed that the Knicks don't play him more. Who on this roster is going to be there 3 years from now? Maybe Barrett, maybe Randall. But, you know, at this case, like, maybe you ship Barrett for, like, Mitchell Robinson. Like, he's a free agent after a year. Are you comfortable paying him what you paid Nerlens Noel? Speaking of Nerlens Noel, like, got him for two more years after this one. Fournier, three more years. I think the Knicks are in, like, a less extreme version of cap hell or future cap hell, which is why the logical move for them in this situation is to aggregate all of those bad contracts and send them over to the one team that's desperate enough to trade for them. That's the Los Angeles Lakers with Russell Westbrook. I'm saying get Fournier over there. We know LeBron loves shooters. Get some Alec Burks to make the money match. Heck, maybe throw in a Nerlens Noel as well. Like, Westbrook, for his faults, is going to play hard. He's going to inject life into the fan base and into, you know, some of the players that we're talking about. And I think the Madison Square Garden is going to love him. And he's going to play hard. He's going to be motivated. So at this stage, he's only got 1 year after this one on his contract. Basically, the trading for an expiring deal and then loading up for the free agency of 2024.
Oh, wow.
That would be the most Knicks thing ever.
We've come full circle. Could you imagine that? I mean, the thing is, if Westbrook gets like one poster dunk and then just looks at the crowd and says bing bong, I think the fans would be in. I think that he could sell them. But man,
what's the bing bong thing? I've seen this reference and I don't understand the full context.
There was like a New York. It was after like one of our wins earlier in the season. It's referencing this clip of a New York guy. He's like driving his car. He rolls down the window. He goes, "Fuck your life, bing bong." And then people started saying that, you know, after like a big three or whatever. And this is when the Knicks, when we were like 5-1. And I would like to say that since then, we're not 5-1. We're very much the opposite of that. So the curse of bing bong has begun. Yeah. And I would like people to retire that phrase. It's really getting on my fucking nerves.
Bing bong. Bing bong for that, brother.
Speaking of the Knicks, let's go to the West Coast version of the Knicks, the Portland Trailblazers, who are currently 11-14. They just lost to the Clippers tonight. They're on a three-game losing streak. There's rumors about Damian Lillard and requesting a trade, which he denied pretty soon after, which he's always kind of denied pretty soon after. They obviously just got rid of their GM, Neil Olshey. A lot going on with this team. I want us to come up with one fake trade each for the Blazers. Yosef, what is your fake trade for the Blazers?
Bucket, you're going to be very disappointed in me. I don't have a fake trade for Damian Lillard because I don't think the Portland Trail Blazers should trade Damian Lillard because his trade value is at an all-time low because of his regression, and it's not going to get better in this context of the situation. So what's the point of trading him? Who's the team that's going to trade for him? I'm a fan of the 76ers. Before the season, I wanted us to trade Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard, and now I'm concerned about Damian Lillard enough to where it's like, I don't want to give up Maxi. Maxi is a young star. I'm happy with his development. We've got good pieces around Joel Embiid. We've got Seth Curry. Whatever happens with Ben Simmons, that's our access to whatever our upside is this season. But I don't want to trade for Damian Lillard as a fan. And I think you look at a lot of these teams who might be contenders for Damian Lillard. It's like, who's really realistically trading for him? Like, are the maybe the Lakers are excited to trade for Damian Lillard at this stage. But the guy is 31 years old. The guy is clearly regressing from last year. He's making $39 million. You have to add up a lot of salary to get to that. I'm curious to hear what your guys' trades are because I just don't see it. I think the move for the Blazers is to kind of bottom out this year. I did a tankathon before this thing, and they ended up with the third pick. That's Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith is something that – the Blazers don't have on their roster. That's the reason they're in this situation in the first place is because they're a small team. They've got no depth. They've got no young talent, except for Simons, who's maybe a third guard, and then Little, who's maybe a third or fourth forward. They've got nothing. So what if you threw an Evan Mobley on this Trail Blazers team?
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? The only way to get an Evan Mobley is to have the third pick like the Cavaliers did and get lucky. Hope it's a good crop of talent. I like Paolo Banchero. I like Chet Holmgren. I like Jabari Smith.
Is it Banchero?
Banchero, yeah.
Oh, I've been saying Banchero.
Banchero. I was actually a Banchero guy in the summer, and I'm reformed now. It's definitely Banchero. But those guys can transform the outlook of this team and maybe fit in with Damian Lillard next year in a team that's more exciting, and then maybe at that point you look, okay, he's rebuilt some of his value. We're also having fun. We've got this young team, this young star with Damian Lillard and CJ. We can do the Portland. We're going to keep you forever, Dame. We can rebuild his value. The move is not to trade him while his value is at an all-time low, and I don't see the suitors. Sorry, Buckets.
I agree with the – I didn't put Dame in a trade either because I completely agree. His value is very low.
I have a Blazers trade. I don't have a Dame trade.
Go ahead, Harry. What's your Blazers trade?
It's CJ McCollum.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Simons for Benjamin Simmons. Real easy.
No! What?
Yeah.
So we're just going to play five guards? Four guards and Joel?
Yeah, that sounds great, dude. The Orlando Magic almost beat – they almost won a championship with Dwight Howard and four guards.
So what are the Sixers going to look like? Their starting lineup is going to be Maxey, Seth, McCollum –
Tobias and Joel. Yeah.
We're getting torched by every team that's got size on the perimeter.
Yeah, but you're putting up 140 points a game, dude. Woo! Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
I don't hate it.
Thank you. Like,
So I guess there are four, like, you know, we probably have to throw in a Danny Green in the trade because of his contract.
Thank God. Yeah, get him out of there.
No, this works. This works just like this.
It does?
Like the numbers? Yeah, because CJ's cap hit is 30.
Oh, you're right. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, CJ's cap hit is 30 million. Simons has a 3.9 mil, and Simmons is at 33. So it actually – you don't need to do anything else other than that. You got plenty of shooting. I think you still have – you know, you still have big man depth with, you know, our favorite bag of big man, Andre Drummond.
Can I ask you a question? So yeah. I told you why I don't like it for the Sixers. Why does trading for a player who hates basketball and hates competitiveness help the Blazers?
I mean, this is we're assuming Ben Simmons is going to continue playing basketball at some point in his career. This is for my fake trade. I actually think Ben is a great fucking fit next to someone like Dame Lillard. Like you, like a Dame Lillard Simmons pick and roll, either way, actually, I think is like deadly. I really do. I mean, I've said this we've all said this for years. Like, Simmons should be Draymond. I don't understand why he doesn't want that. Like, you don't want to play 4-on-3 going downhill. It's just so weird to me. To me, basketball-wise, I think it makes a lot of sense. He's got size. He brings a defensive versatility that they don't have other than Robert Covington, who honestly is super fucking important to them, but it's just not enough. And Simmons just does that on a much, 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 much higher level. Like, I don't know. Like, we can all joke about Simmons all we want, but let's not forget that, like, in a right basketball context, I think he makes a lot of sense for Portland. And on the Sixers side, okay, you know, maybe not all of those guys are starting / playing at the same time. Like, I think you should probably stagger. You know, you could bring guys in like Cork, who has a lot of size. I think there's size throughout the, you know, on the roster other than Joel, that where you can kind of stagger and always have a lethal ball handler on the court between Maxey, McCollum. Yeah, and then have someone like Seth, who's not necessarily that creative with the ball, but who's so lethal that, you know, he has that gravitational pull. I think having one of those guys in the court at all times would be insane, especially in the playoffs. Like that kind of lineup versatility. I don't know. I
honestly think, now that I think about it, because then they would still have Matisse, they would still have Cork, they would still have Shake Milton, they would still have Niang, and then Embiid and Drummond as your bigs. Yeah, I mean, that team would be the deepest team in terms of talent in the league, I think.
Can I ask you a question, though? So we're talking about the Eastern Conference, right? We're talking about Kevin Durant, James Harden, Zach LaVine. We're talking about DeMar DeRozan. We're talking about Jimmy Butler. I just don't trust that team to hold up on the perimeter with those, you know, that trio of players. The sad thing is for me is that the perfect player for this Sixers team would be the idealized version of Ben Simmons with the other guards that we have, with the big that we have, with Tobias, with George, with Danny. Like, he'd be the perfect player, except he's going through whatever he's going through, and so you can't even project the idealized version of Ben Simmons because we don't know when he's ever going to play again. So I guess turning Ben Simmons into something in CJ McCollum would be a net gain, because we don't know when Ben Simmons is ever going to come back. But I like the guys who are taking the floor right now. I mean, Shake started for Maxey today and he played well. Yeah, so it's like, if we could somehow get, like, you remember, Buckets, that they were saying that the Hawks were interested in trading either Cam Reddish or DeAndre Hunter before their rookie contract extension. Like, if we could get, like, a lesser version, like a less star appeal version of a wing, like, that would be the move. And you know, this is all pie in the sky talk. We're probably going to end up with Kobe White and Patrick Williams. Like,
speaking of pie in the sky, imagine if you had just taken Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My God, dude. Imagine if we had taken, well, Michael Porter's back is broken now. But yeah, like, you know, we had, there were so many possibilities on the board, and we managed to get the single worst possibility. Trade down, take Zaire Smith, who's going to be out of the league in 2 years. We could have had Mikal. We could have had Shea, for that matter, who would have been great. Yeah. We could have had Michael Porter, and we have absolutely nothing. So,
well, wait, hold on. Pause on the Sixers, though, because I don't want to end it on that note. Am I crazy for thinking that this Sixers team could actually do damage in the playoffs?
No, just, you're not. Absolutely not.
We just saw Milwaukee do it with Giannis as, like, their central. Like, I don't understand why Joel, once he gets back in shape, you know, from his bout with COVID and everything, like, the rest of this team is really, to me, like, they have that it factor. They have that, like, last year, Milwaukee, the Clippers, you know, even though the Clippers got bounced, you know, where it was like something, I feel like something special was brewing. Dude, feel like these guys genuinely love playing with each other. And Tobias is balling.
He is. It's like they move the ball, man. And Buckets loves to compare every team to his favorite 2013-14 Spurs. Rather, he is excited to have the opportunity to compare teams to that 2013-14 Spurs team. And I think, Buckets, if the Raptors from 2 years ago were that team and the Jazz from last year were that team, why aren't the Sixers,
the
Armani Buckets, San Antonio Spurs comp stealth contender team in the East and in the NBA? I think that you're lying to yourself if you say they're not.
I haven't been trolling. I'm all in on this Sixers team. I swear to God, I'm all in. And the thing is that a lot of people were out because Embiid got COVID and they lost games. It's like, okay. Before he got sick, they beat the Bulls twice. They have quality wins on their resume. They're a really good team. Very good.
And the thing is it's not so much about being out, but it's like in the Eastern Conference, can you make it too tough for yourself to advance? So if you have to play a play-in, they're at the seventh seed right now. If you have to match up, actually, the 2-7 matchup is Bulls-Chicago. So we would run through Chicago. So that's a bad example. But if you had to match up with a Milwaukee, like all of a sudden, like Milwaukee in the first round, then you'd play it just gets too tough. So I think that's what the concern is with the losing games. But now if we can get our guys healthy, go on a little bit of a run, then we can talk about chasing the 4-3-2-1 seed. Like, why not? Why not us? We're only 3.5 games back, Buckets.
No, I love it. I want to get to I know you guys had some segments that you wanted to
– Wait, did you do your fake trade, though? Sorry.
I did not do my fake trade.
He completely lied to us. You wanted our fake trades. I didn't have a fake trade. You had a fake trade, and he didn't even have a fake trade.
I forgot. No, this is my fake trade. I was going to combine the Blazers and the Knicks to make a fake trade. So let's send CJ to New York. Let's send Cody Zeller to the Knicks, and let's get off of Evan Fournier's contract. Let's get off of Nerlens Noel's contract, and let's send him RJ Barrett.
That's basketball hell. Oh, my God.
It is. Poor I mean, Blazers. For both teams, it is. But that is, you know, spinning. What? It's a lose-lose. So
the Knicks are going to sell low on RJ Barrett to take on CJ McCollum and his contract. And,
hey,
Cody Zeller is the headline.
Cody Zeller, you're right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, Cody Zeller, Tibbs is going to make him all world defense.
I just want him back on the Hornets. That's a guy who should have been a Hornet for life for me. I'm disappointed he's not there.
But, you know, I mean, at least, I don't know. It was bad. It's a lose-lose. I'm not even going to try to defend it. Harry, give us your segment, please, because that was...
Oh, okay. So I came up with this idea of, like, because we all want to talk about breakthrough players, breakout players, right, every season. There's always feel-good stories everywhere. We brought up one already, Tyrese Maxey, absolutely bawling out of control this season. Honestly, one of my favorite players, young players in the league. But the other side of the coin... not so appetizing to talk about, but fun in a macabre way, is the breakdown player. Which player has kind of shit the bed this season, so to speak, in a way that's like very jarring and something that we'd want to note through the first quarter of the season. I think in previous pods, we've brought up guys like, you know, De'Aaron Fox and Harden. I think those are two examples. Although I think Harden's kind of hit or miss. I still don't see the burst from him. He's shooting a little better, but whatever. That's besides the point. You know, that's the seg.
I got two off the top of my head that both play for the East number one seed.
Whoa.
Blake Griffin and Bruce Brown, because it seems like Blake Griffin, it seems like he's completely out of the rotation. And Brown, it seems like some nights Steve Nash trusts him, and some nights it looks like he's lost his job to DeAndre Bembry. So... Those are two guys that were key players for them in the playoffs last season. And now it's like, they're really just rolling with, this is why I don't believe in the Nets, by the way. They're rolling with LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap, and they basically exiled Nick Claxton. And then they use James Johnson now. And that's like, I'm sorry. I don't think that that team's going to be a threat.
Buckets, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you completely misunderstood the concept. You just picked two broken down players. You're supposed to have like two guys who are kind of like foils to each other. One guy, which is why I called this when Harry presented this, the Darius Garland, Damian Lillard corollary, because you're supposed to pick one player who's ascending to the level that the previous player was at in that realm and who's declining. So... Okay. As you can tell, mine is, like I said, Darius Garland is the breakout and Damian Lillard is the breakdown. But I've got another one for you guys. Two former Lakers, actually. Well, one current, one former. How about Brandon Ingram as my breakout player? He's been playing well. You guys have really highlighted him and he's playing terrific basketball. And my breakdown player is take your pick between LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. I just did it for the content.
No, but okay, trolls. But that's okay, that's serious though. LeBron, like LeBron troll, LeBron haters are having the time of their life. The dude legitimately looks a little like slower than before. Like the shot looks great.
I think we're a step above, or he's a step before the true breakdown, I think, in the premise that you're describing.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But then again, maybe Damian Lillard is too. That's what makes it such a interesting dynamic to try to parse down who is that true breakdown player.
But Darius Garland, man, oh my God. Like, can we take a second to appreciate this dude's game? Like, he's so crafty. I mean, he plays like he's been in the league for like 12 years, but he has the quickness of a guy who's been in the league for two. Like, the way he throws lobs, Zach Lowe pointed this out in his 10 things column, the way he throws lobs is the same release as his floater, which, like, if you're defending that, like, I feel it's easy for us sitting at home when we're watching it on the broadcast to, like, see what he's doing. But if you're face guarding him, you can't see behind you, there's no way for you to know whether it's a lob or it's a floater. And it's, like, all of these little tricks, the hezzies, the dribble package is out of this world. I mean, the way he gets into a step back, his shot is so fluid now. I mean, like, he's really coming into his own in a way that, you know, I was optimistic coming out of the draft. But after his first year, honestly, like, I'd kind of given up hope.
Me too.
But man,
especially in comparison to how Kobe White was playing. You know, those guys were picked two picks apart. Kobe was surging in that February of 2020, and, you know, Darius Garland was really struggling. So the fact that the roles have kind of reversed is a little surprising and disappointing.
Our Medill education's also surging at the time before they were derailed by coronavirus.
Oh my gosh.
I have one, guys.
Let's hear it.
So the breakout is Kelly Oubre.
Oh.
He's been hooping for the Hornets. And then the breakdown is from the team that we mentioned earlier, the Portland Trail Blazers. Every time I look at the box score from the Blazers, Robert Covington has 1 for 4, 3 points, 32 minutes. And it's just like, and, you know, he's out there for his defense, and defense is not an individual thing, but the Blazers are consistently 28th in defense. So what is he really like? What are we getting out of him? Why don't they just start Nasir Little? I don't get it.
No, but the thing is, if you watch them play, they actually need him. I don't know if it's a scheme thing, but they put him in positions where he has to, like, his defensive versatility is needed. And it's like, I agree. It's so weird. It's so unimpressive to me when I watched him play. I'm like, why don't you just kind of tinker things so that you don't need to rely on Robert Covington so much, because he hasn't been a relevant basketball player in 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's bewildering to me that they can't figure out how to at least maybe involve, like, even tonight in a game against the Clippers when they're missing so many guys. Let's see the box score really quick. I'm going to pull it up. It's just like, you don't have Dame Lillard. You don't have CJ McCollum. He went 1 for 8, 2 points, minus 23, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks in 30 minutes. It's just,
did you say minus 23?
He was minus 23, team low minus 23. But yeah, I just don't understand it. And on the flip side, Oubre is helping carry the COVID Hornets, who are one of the most exciting teams in the NBA. The COVID Hornets are the new bubble Nets.
How dare you? How dare you compare the Hornets to the bubble Nets team that I liked? One of my favorite teams, when you talk about Chris Chioza, Jeremiah Martin, and how about another breakout player, Jarrett Allen? I was thinking about who some of the breakout centers are. And so, you know, maybe DeAndre, who was good last year. Jarrett Allen was huge. Wendell Carter Jr., another breakout player. So, you know, because I was thinking, okay, who's the breakout for the guard position? Darius Garland. For the forward position, I think Anthony Edwards is up there. Ingram, we've talked about. And then for the center position, I mean, when you look at Jared Allen, DeAndre Ayton was good last year too. So I don't know if he's a true breakout. And then Wendell, who's been really, really serviceable. And then on the flip side, a breakdown player. I mean, how about Nikola Vucevic? This is a guy who's supposed to be a shooter. Like, can't shoot anymore.
What's he's getting wrong better. With him?
He was Clank City. So I think Wendell is a breakout and Vooch is a breakdown. I think that's another example of this. Harry, do you have a guy that you were thinking of, a guy or two for this?
I do. Let's stay with the Hornets, the most fun team in the league. It's Miles Bridges for me. He's my breakout guy. I mean, the maturity he's showing to combine with the athleticism that's always been there. I mean, even in crunch time when the pressure's on, you're seeing this guy patient, using his body, get to your spot, knock shots down. I didn't think this was possible for him. I thought he would just forever be in-game dunker extraordinaire Miles Bridges. And, like, it's just so fun to watch. Because of what's his name, Eric? Who's Eric Collins?
Yep.
It's so fucking fun to watch those games, man. I mean, he knocks it out of the park.
LaMelo! Miles Bridges.
I love it, dude. He just says their names. It's the best. But yeah, Bridges. I think he's 20.2 points a game right now. Not even shooting that well from three, but doing it, you know, just doing it in an efficient way. My breakdown guy, you know, it's funny. Like, I think the last time that me and Armand did a pod, Yosef was busy. Armand brought up the fall of De'Aaron Fox. I think Fox has kind of found his way a little bit. The athleticism is still not the same, but he's producing again. So, you know, I'm going to leave him out of this. But I think, man, who's my breakdown guy? I mean, you really stole my thunder with all the Lakers, dude. It's just
bringing it full circle, though. Like, imagine thinking this time last year, because you talked about how incomprehensible this would have been if you said Miles Bridges would be performing like an all-star this year. Like, what if I told you last year that Miles Bridges in 2021-22 was going to be better than Julius Randle, and it wouldn't even be close? So doesn't that make the guy we started this podcast talking about, our breakdown player,
has to be
in this paradigm? I think we've come full circle, guys. I think it's Julius Randle as the breakdown player.
I think he is. I think you could put RJ up there too. I think the thing with Randle, though, that is even more concerning than RJ just not shooting well at all, is that Randle is forcing everything. Everything he does on the floor is forced, even on defense, like the way he's contesting shots, the way he's – and it just looks so exasperated, and you can see it in his body language. Like, if a call doesn't go his way, he's like, dude, what are we doing here? If he doesn't get a call, he's like walking back on defense. It's 5-on-4. You know, when he catches the ball in the mid post, it seems like he's taking like one too many of those pound dribbles to try and like establish a little leverage on a guy. Other guys are drawing charges on him, you know. The shooting, like last year, like contested shots were kind of his thing, like contested mid-range shots. But this year, it's kind of like he's waving off guys, he's icing guys on his own team to get to his spot and everything. Like, I just think he's taking this Mamba mentality thing like a little too seriously.
I completely agree with that. That makes me wonder, though, is there a situation, because Knicks extended Julius Randle, I believe, this offseason to a lower number than he thought he might have been able to get in free agency. Is there a team that could actually utilize the skill set of Julius Randle and, you know, have him in a winning context? Is it the Chicago Bulls, for instance?
Bring him back to LA, baby. Back where it all started.
Dude, Russ for Randle? I'm down.
I think he's still young, but I think he's teetering.
Irredeemable buckets.
I think he's teetering towards power forward Russell Westbrook.
Oh, it really is. No, it really is. But the thing is, like, last year the shooting was so solid the whole season except for the playoffs. And it was one of those things where, like, I've never liked his form just personally. Like, I just think it looks super clunky. But, man, it was money last year, and I just don't know where it went. I can't say that about Westbrook. I don't think Westbrook's ever been a good shooter.
Now, before we get out of here, I want us to do the best thought experiment again. We did this a couple pods ago. Let's pull up the Western Conference standings and let's look at the race for 10th and let's see if we have any changes of opinions, because the Houston Rockets are on a 6-game win streak.
Oh, they're on a tear.
Portland is currently in 10th place. They have lost 3 in a row. We spent a lot of time discussing their inadequacies. Who do we think, guys? Let's go Yosef first. As of now, obviously, things can change. Who do you think is going to finish in that 10th spot in the West?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm rooting for the Rockets, because StatMuse put out a tweet that if the Rockets win their 7th straight game against the Nets on Wednesday, because today is Tuesday, they're going to change their avatar to Christian Wood's avatar, like for their Twitter account. They're going to change their avatar into Christian Wood. So, for that reason, I'm going with the Rockets.
Harry, who do you have?
The Rockets give me a Christian Wood. Love Alperen Sengun.
I tried to slide that in there so quick.
Just a little jab, something light.
Like no one would hear it. You just slide that in there and talk about Alperen Sengun.
Something light.
Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
No, dude, honestly, like the Rockets, yeah, they're I think that they have a solid chance to at least be better than everybody's gonna be better than OKC. OKC lost by like 70 the other night. I mean, it's very, very clear what the front office is trying to do. They're not trying to win basketball games. If we can safely count OKC out. The Pelicans, I don't know. I mean, you have nights where BI has 40 and they still lose, like convincingly. So I'm not sure. Like, I honestly don't think Zion is going to play more this than season. 10 games a season. Oh. Because, dude, if he's healthy, like, he still needs to get in shape, and he's 400 pounds right now. You saw him at the game, right? Like, in the fucking red tracksuit.
This is a non-fat-shaming podcast.
I'm not fat-shaming. He just has a lot of mass on him. That's all.
I mean, it's not true, you know?
I don't even fault the kid. Like, okay, he tore his meniscus. You can't really walk that much, right? Like, you can't. But okay, like definitely don't eat like you're playing because you're not burning the same amount of energy. I just don't know what's going on over there. I don't trust the Pelicans at all. Honestly, dude, give me the Spurs. I think the Spurs are the best out of those teams. I think the T-Wolves are going to finish like ninth. I really think they're actually better than these teams. But I think the Spurs are good, man. Like I was watching the highlights from the Warriors game last night. They blew a huge fucking lead. But you know what? DeJounte Murray was awesome. He's a guy I consider talking about for that breakthrough candidate spot. Derek White is starting to do Derek White stuff again. Handsy on defense, blah, 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 blah. You know, Lonnie Walker is up and down. Vassell. Yeah, Vassell is starting to look a little feisty. And I think, you know, we all know what Pop can do when he has a group of guys that are actually motivated. And all it takes is to string together four or five wins in a row. And suddenly everybody's eyes on the prize. Like, let's get into the playoffs.
That's my team, too. I got San Antonio.
By the way, that was my team as well. I just wanted to.
I like the zig.
The Rockets.
Yeah.
It's clear. Like, you look at the Kings. You trust the Kings, the Rockets, the Pelicans. Like, that's the thing about the West is that the West is pretty, let's just call it not deep. Like, there are the real teams, and then there are the teams that are young, up and coming, probably shouldn't be in the playoff mix, but are because of the way that the West is.
Because of Anthony Edwards.
Let's do one more quick one before we get out of here, because I have one more. So let's assume, you know, Golden State, Phoenix, and let's say Utah are top three. Who do you guys think is going to finish fourth in the Western Conference standings? Because that's a clusterfuck right now.
Do we know anything about Jamal Murray, Kawhi Leonard?
Let's assume that neither are going to be back until at least mid-February.
You know, it's still give me the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is maybe having a better season than he was last year. He might just drag this team with no MPJ, no Jamal Murray. He might just drag them to the fourth seed because I don't see anybody else that I'm that confident in. I mean, the Grizzlies are a fighting team. I'm not sure that they're – I don't know. There's something that I don't think they're quite ready for yet. Although Desmond Bane has been fucking amazing. You know, you go down the list, obviously before he got hurt, was having like an MVP caliber season. The Clippers, Paul George, again, great season, but they're inconsistent. The Mavs, I mean, Luka is just still for the third season in a row is just not shooting well, which is just really fucking strange. I don't know. I don't trust any of these teams. Out of all, I think about it this way. Who's the best player out of these teams? To me, it's very obviously Carmelo Anthony. It's very obviously Nikola Jokic. And I don't know. I'm going to go with the Nuggets because of that.
So before you go, would you guys, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked would you be if it's the Lakers that are the fourth seed?
A 12.
Really? Like, when you look at how bad the rest of the teams are, or I shouldn't say bad, but mediocre – the Lakers could theoretically finish fourth.
We've all watched the Lakers this season. They're horrible. I know you watch a lot of Lakers. They're awful.
But, like, they're 500, and, like, it's not inconceivable, I think, that they somehow – by the way, my answer is Denver as well, because I think every – I agree with what you said about Jokic, and I think that their continuity – they typically, I feel like, start like this, and then they'll get hot at some point, win, like, 9 in a row, distance themselves. But, Josef, who do you have?
I think the Grizzlies are going to hold strong. I mean, I think that, you know, Ja is out right now. What's the timetable on his return? Harry didn't include him in the the Jamal Murray, Kawhi Leonard thing, so he's not out that long. How long is he out for? I mean, and they're winning without him. Like, I think this is the deepest team. It's the team that plays the best together. I mean, you can make a case for the Clippers. I think that, you know, the Mavericks were in a similar situation last year where I felt like, wow, like they're concerningly like low in the standings, and they finished the five seed, so they're possible. And I guess I just worry with Denver, you know, with them, no certainty on Murray, and, you know, now Michael Porter Jr. out for the year. Like, Jokic is fantastic. Does he have the group of guys around him? I mean, they lost to Chicago, you know, a depleted Chicago team today. You know, they've got Aaron Gordon playing 39 minutes, Jeff Green playing 32 minutes, and really no bench to speak of. They signed Devon Reed off the scrap heap, and he's playing real minutes for them. I didn't even know the guy's been out of the league for 2 or 3 years. Like, these are guys that they're relying on. So that would be the concern I have about Denver. I just feel good about the Grizzlies. I like what Josh showed, you know. Not MVP, you know, because Steph is so outrageous, but playing at such a high level, and he's so terrific in the paint with the floaters, and it's just he plays with an intensity. There was a quote where Damian Lillard says Ja's the player mentality-wise who reminds him of him, and I think that the entire team has that mindset, and it's a deep team. It's a team that goes, when everyone's healthy, 10-11 deep. Jaren Jackson is starting to play better. I think I trust Memphis, guys.
What about the Lakers, Yos?
You know me, Buckets. I'm the biggest, like, whether you want to call it conspiracy or, like, the league favors these big market teams and would love for the Lakers to get hot. But, like, Harry said it best. We've seen the Lakers play. I don't know what the move is out of this unless they turn Westbrook into Evan Fournier, Nerlens Noel, and Alec Burks. Like, I don't know how they – I don't know how they – the team that we've seen, how they get – better unless LeBron goes supernova or they're able to do something with Westbrook.
Which, like, do you guys actually legitimately think LeBron can do that anymore?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I think it's gone. And I think, like, Davis, look, this is no fault really of Anthony Davis. I don't like his game. Like, I'm just gonna be honest. But I think that he's a great NBA player. But the nature of how he plays basketball is that he cannot create for himself. And so if you have a team around him that also can't create shit, then guess what? Like, he's just going to have 26 and 12 and 5 blocks every night off of just putbacks and fucking, you know, the occasional I'm going to catch the ball moving on the low block and just do my little I'm going baseline, I'm going to dunk it on you thing. But that's actually not really enough in today's league to be successful. You need a guy who can be, you know, everybody talks about heliocentrism now. You need a guy who can be the focal point of everything you do on offense, a real, true decision maker with the ball. And they don't have that anymore. I mean, LeBron is that guy, like, let's be clear, but he's just not at the level. I mean, this is the first time, I think, maybe in his entire career, that I don't think there's a case for LeBron to be the best player in the world anymore.
Well, let's wait till Kendrick Nunn gets back because
– Oh, my God.
Listen, I've been waiting, man. I've been waiting. He's the last hope, but, like, my hope
is – When is the white guy coming back? Austin Reeves?
He's been back. I think, right?
He's back. They play Boston tomorrow. That game, you know, Lakers-Celtics, I think it is a TNT game. So that'll be interesting, you know. If they dip under 500, they go into Memphis the next game. Celtics. Yeah, it's a lot of yikes and yuck. But that's unless you guys got something, that's all I had for us today. You guys got anything else?
No, I'm good. It was great to talk basketball. I love the NBA.
Josef Nasser?
Go Sixers, go.
Wait, I want to say one thing. I think it's amazing that But like in the past, before the season, we always started like almost every pod with Bulls talk when they were miserable and horrible. And now that they're fucking awesome, I feel like we never talk about them, and it makes me sad.
Well, let's quickly, you know, they beat the Nets the other day. They beat Denver today. They're a legitimate title contender.
They're fucking good. Dude, DeMar DeRozan is so, I mean, he's out with COVID. I hope he gets better. Or he's in COVID protocols, excuse me. But, dude, I mean, like, you talk about, like, a signature move. That fucking, tween, he's spin so move. Good. Like, ooh. And Zach, okay, zero brain. One of the most gifted players I've ever seen touch ever basketball. Seen.
It's the brutal. Bulls are great in crunch time. They're a great team. And
Ayo?
I don't even have a but. I just think the only but I would give is that I think Milwaukee's going to get a little bit better. I think that the Sixers are going to get a little bit better. I think Atlanta's going to hit their stride. But the Bulls are great. They're great. No doubt about it.
I think Milwaukee, to me, is the best team in the East. To me, it's just my opinion. I think as a whole, as a unit, all three of those guys, Giannis, Chris, and Drew, haven't played together much at all. And I think the rest of the team is actually good. Whatever. I think Brooklyn is a clear number two. But honestly, I don't really think Brooklyn is that.
I don't think they're better than us.
I was teasing that. Honestly, I was going to say Chicago might be like a half step down. They might be even. Dude, where's Ayo Dosunmu and on our Rookie of the Year rankings? That's all I got to say. Like, he's top five. Sure, bro.
The Nets are going to get worse and worse as the season goes along. They're getting great, great stuff from Durant. Unless Harden picks it up, they're going to get Joe Harris healthy. But Patty Mills has been kind of overplaying. Let's say, okay, that is what he is. Sure. LaMarcus Aldridge has been, I think, playing better than we can expect from him as the season goes along. The rest of their roster is just a bunch of guys. Like, they're going to be relying on Cam Thomas in the playoffs, and he's 19. So it's like,
he looked good last night, though.
He is good. I love him. It's just that, you know, this is, you're asking a lot for a team that supposedly they're not. To me, this is the hottest take we might have started. Should have probably started the podcast with this. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't make it out of round one. Like, I wouldn't be. The East is that good. It's that good.
Okay, but what's the. Okay, so for example, let's say Brooklyn finishes second in the East, and let's say the seventh seed is who?
If they play Boston or something, I think they'll win. But like,
let's say it's Washington.
Washington sucks. Washington's horrible.
They're gonna be in the playoffs. They're like the.
I don't know if they are.
Five seed right now.
It'd be tough for them to miss. I guess we're a quarter.
They're all so tightly congested that they could fall, you know, out of the mix in like a week.
If
a week is bad enough.
I genuinely think the Wizards are going to be like in that 9th, 10th, 11th when it's all said and done. I think Toronto.
So Buckets or Harry, to answer, I mean, so you're looking at the Celtics, the Sixers, the Hornets, the Cavaliers, let's say it's the Hornets. The Hawks. I would prefer the Nets to the Hornets.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I would take them too, but there was a game that we already saw. The Hornets went into Barclays and beat the crap out of them.
That's what I like about this Hornets team, though. Like, they are not afraid of anybody. Kevin Durant, doesn't matter. I think the only scenario I see where Brooklyn really peters out, like, and it's a disaster in that way, is if Nash just goes full Tibbs on Durant. He's like, dude, you're playing 47 minutes a game.
But he's already hinted at that. He said, what else are we going to do? And so, you know, I think the Nets thing is going to end up being a disaster personally, but we'll see. That's why we got a lot more NBA to go. And, you know, as we're saying this, the Nets are currently tied for first in the East. So
if Kyrie comes back, this is the last thing I want to say about that.
Changes everything.
Let's say if Kyrie comes back, are they the best team in the East?
Yes, I think so. Although he has to, well, you know, there's so much time. He has to give them a little bit of time to get acclimated.
Yeah, he's a good shape.
Yeah. You know, but we'll see. As always, thank you guys for listening. And we got to do this again. I always say this at the end of the pods, but let's try to do a weekend pod this weekend if we can, guys.
Let's do it. Sunday is not good for me, but Saturday works.
Harrison, is it official with you and the – are we allowed to talk personal business on the pod or no?
Sure. What's official?
Are you
still a single man or no?
I'm not.
There we go. Breaking news.
There you had it.
Bar, if you were trying to slide in Harrison Leal's DMs. Actually, it's Harrison Freedom now. Did you? Wow, we should have led with that. Harrison Freedom, Yosef Nasser, thank you guys as always. Until next time, we're out of here.